Welcome back to the Saving Delaware History podcast. I'm your host, Madeline Messer, and we're following up on last week's episode by talking with architectural historian Carlton Hall of the State Historic Preservation Office about African-American history in Delaware. Thank you for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
So what is your job as an architectural historian at the SHPO?
My primary task as an architectural historian is reviewing FCC, HUD, and PLUS projects. When reviewing FCC projects, my job is to make sure that there are no historic properties or archaeological sites in the area that would negatively impact the development.
And what, in your opinion, is the most challenging issue with getting churches in Delaware recognized and listed on the National Register of Historic Places?
Well, I think back then, preserving African-American resources like African-American churches wasn't looked at as important. The National Historic Preservation Act was from 1966, so obviously we're living in a different time back then. That's pretty much right after segregation. I would say 2 years after segregation.
Could you name some of the overlooked Black history here in Delaware that you would say most people don't know about?
Well, first of all, I would say the DuPont schools here in Delaware. The DuPont schools were funded by Pierre S. DuPont, who was the chair of General Motors at the time. He had a vision of rebuilding the schools after receiving a 1917 report that ranked Delaware as 39th in support of education out of 48 states. So then DuPont financed the construction of 80 new buildings for Black children in Delaware between the years 1922 and 1928.
Do you have any idea why he did that? Was there a motivation behind it, or did he ever release a public statement?
I mean, I think it's just from him seeing some of the conditions of the schools. I mean, you had the Delaware City Colored School, which is pretty much located within a swamp. I have a picture of that, and it's pretty revealing how crazy things were back in those days. I mean, some of these schools were for 30 and 40 children with one room schoolhouses and churches. And, you know, they didn't receive enough funding. And a lot of people felt like it was unfair and these schools needed state funding.
Could you give an example of one of those schools?
Yeah, I think one of the most successful out of these DuPont schools was the Howard High School in Wilmington, which was founded in 1867. Howard was the first high school for African-Americans in Delaware until another school was added in the early 1920s, which was at the State Colored School for Colored Students at Delaware State here in Dover.
Who taught at Howard High School?
Well, one of the most famous teachers at Howard High School was Alice Dunbar Nelson. She was known as a writer during the Harlem Renaissance, and she was a poet also. She was a civil rights activist. She taught at a lot of places. Another famous teacher was Henry Arthur Callis, who was one of the founders of the first African-American fraternity, which I'm a member of, which is Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated. When he was at Howard High School, he taught German and he taught African-American history.
Looking into Howard High School a little bit, I saw that they're a normal school. Could you explain what that means?
Okay, I certainly can. A normal school was an institution within the school that was created to train high school graduates to become teachers. So in Howard High School, I think the main purpose was to have a normal school within Howard High School so Black teachers get to teach Black students throughout the state, not just Wilmington. We're talking about Kent County. We're talking about Sussex County. We're talking all throughout the state. So their idea was to have this normal school so Black teachers could teach Black children.
Did any of those teachers go on to teach at some of the DuPont schools, or might they have?
I would say the one that I know 100% for sure was, like I said, Alice Dunbar Nelson, who taught at the DuPont school on the campus of what is now Delaware State University. And this was in the early 1900s, around 1970.
So talking about this shortage of schools in Delaware for African Americans. Why is there a shortage of African Americans in the field of historic preservation?
I think mainly because African history, Black history is not taught in high schools and elementary schools too much. I mean, when I was back in school in the late 1980s and early 90s. We didn't teach too much of Black history, and when it was mainly about segregation and about African Americans being enslaved, you know, and there wasn't a lot of positive history. Like me, myself, when I was in high school, I never heard about Howard High School. I never heard how, you know, they taught German, they taught Latin, they had performing arts there. The first African American lawyer in Delaware graduated from there. So I did not know about Howard High School until I was in my late 20s, I would say, when I was about, you know, 28 years old, I found out, you know, they had all these famous alumni that went on to become doctors, teachers, great writers, and historians. So it's interesting.
At what point did you start discovering some of the staff and start getting inspired to work in this field?
I think I got inspired to work in a field when I saw a documentary by Ken Burns. It was a Civil War narrative. I was very interested in the Civil War already, and I think it was an interesting dynamic within the Civil War when you basically had best friends fighting best friends. Sometimes you had cousins going to war against cousins, and it's just the whole dynamic of the Civil War. What was it about? Was it about slavery? Was it about preserving slavery? Was it about states' rights? I just felt like there were so many dynamics in the Civil War, and I'd always been interested in it, and I've always been interested in the Underground Railroad.
So as you're talking about there, we don't often mention some of the positive accomplishments of African Americans, especially the ones from Delaware. Could you give us some examples of that that you've learned in your time as a historian?
Okay. Most notably, we've been talking about Howard High School. So Lewis L. Redding, who was a graduate of Howard High School, became the first African-American lawyer in Delaware in 1929 after he finished law school in Harvard in 1928. Redding was part of the NCAA legal team that challenged school segregation in the Brown versus Board of Education case in front of the Supreme Court in 1952. So we're talking about the 1920s. We're talking about the late 1920s. So I'm thinking, you know, that's a major accomplishment for someone, you know, to go to school in Delaware, to go to high school in Delaware, go on and get your law degree and then become a lawyer in 1929. So I think that's fascinating. Some people don't think about it, but I think that's fascinating. And that says a lot about Howard High School and what it was mm-hmm. in the 1920s and 1930s.
Yeah, it must have been a fantastic school to be at.
Yeah.
So as you've been doing this work and discovering more of Delaware's history, what's been your most useful resource? Where have you found all this information from?
Most of it, Maddie, I found at the Delaware Public Archives, which is here in Dover. And within the Delaware Archives, the Delaware Public Archives, you can find a whole bunch of historical records. You can find deed records. You can find census records within the state, within Castle County, Kent County, and Sussex County. You can find church records, you can find city directories. You can find a whole bunch of, you know, historic manuscripts, writings and drawings and sketches. And it's a very interesting place. It's very strict because they want to preserve all the documents because the documents, some of them are, you know, 300 years old. So it's a great place. It's been a place that I've been going to do research ever since I was in grad school at Delaware State University about 11 years ago. So I got a lot of history there. It's a great place. And it's an excellent resource for anybody that wants to do research here in Delaware.
What would you say, other than Howard High School, what has been sort of your favorite piece of Delaware history?
I don't know, Maddie. I think I like it all. I mean, there's a lot. There's still a lot out there to be researched. There's a lot of great Black history in Delaware. You talk about, you know, Harriet Tubman and the people here in Delaware that worked with Harriet Tubman. I think that's great history. The fact that, you know, this is one of the first states that, you know, she traveled through to get to the North. Let's see. Like I said, you know, there's Lewis L. Redding, who was the first African-American lawyer in Delaware. There's Herman Holloway Sr., who was Delaware's first Black elected senator in 1964. He was also a graduate of Howard High School. There's all types of interesting history. You know, there's, you know, Samuel Burris. He was a free African-American here in Kent County. He was also part of the Underground Railroad system that helped, you know, runaways run to freedom. So a lot of great stuff. I can't really pinpoint one. No, I can. I'll take that back, Maddie. I think the Underground Railroad history here in Delaware, it's amazing because it's not documented. It's sort of underground. People don't think about that. When a lot of people think Underground Railroad, I mean, some people actually do think of trains, railroad tracks, mm-hmm. but it had nothing to do with that. This thing was underground. There are not a lot of documents that are left because this is all secret. Everything that was written was destroyed. And, when I was in grad school, I noticed that the Underground Railroad was a lot more organized than I originally thought. You know, you had the Methodists that were heavily involved in the Underground Railroad. You had the Quakers, you know, you had a lot of European Americans that were involved in the Underground Railroad, which helped a lot of African Americans, you know, get out of slavery. So it's interesting history.
How has that research that you did as a graduate student and before translated into your work at the HCA?
Oh, a lot, Maddie. When I was in grad school, I did research on the United States Colored Troops. And during the Civil War here in Delaware. So what I did was I had a list, I would say about 20 African-Americans that were, you know, in the United States Colored Troops in the Civil War here in Newcastle County. I took photographs of the grave sites and I went to the Delaware Public Archives. And I did research on all these Civil War veterans through the archives. I went through the census records. I went on, you know, online resources for, you know, Civil War veterans and got information there. And I kind of compiled everything together. And basically, that was my dissertation, you know, to graduate, you know, from grad school at Delaware State University. So, you know, all of that helped me because when I started doing work on the Green Book, and the Green Book is just a research project I did when I first came here to Delaware Historical Cultural Affairs. And that research was on the Green Book, which was a travel guide for African Americans during segregation from the years of 1936 to 1966. And basically, this is a guide with a bunch of, you know, barbershops, hotels, restaurants that were safe for African Americans during segregation. Because during them times, you know, it could be very dangerous if African Americans, you know, went to a regular establishment that was prohibited for people that were people of color. So that whole research was interesting, and I, you know, started that, you know, learning my way through the Delaware Public Archives. It was very helpful.
Did you finish that research while you were at the HCA, or was that before?
I did, Patty. It began in 2015, and I began doing presentations in January of 2016. So this is about, you know, 5 years ago. I started doing presentations in Smith County, Kent County, and Nassau. It was well received, but as an African American, I would like to see a lot more, you know, African Americans, you know, attending these presentations. But I digress. I'll go back to, you know, the stuff I'm talking about.
I did want to say I saw that got you the 40 under 40 in preservation. I want to say congratulations on that. It was a little while ago, but still.
Yeah, it was a while ago. Thanks. It caught me by surprise because, you know, when I was younger, when I was in high school, I was kind of taught that, you know, a lot of people didn't care about history. A lot of people especially didn't care about African-American history. So it's something that always interested me, but I never really thought that I could have a career researching Black history because there was no interest and, you know, people really didn't care about this. This is back in, you know, 1989, 1990. And I thought to myself, okay, well, how am I going to have a career in something that nobody has an interest in? But now I'm finding out different, you know, a lot more people are interested in African-American history, which is great. It's great for me.
I didn't mean to pull you off topic even more.
That's okay.
Do you want to keep going what you were saying about your current work?
Okay. So basically, you know, here at the preservation office, you know, I'm an architectural historian and I do a lot of, you know, consulting with a lot of consultants, a lot of people from the counties, Castle County, from Kent County, when I review, you know, development projects. And these development projects vary from FCC projects, which is, you know, cell phone antenna projects, cell tower projects. Let's see. I also do HUD projects, which is more of the evaluating buildings. So if somebody's going to do a development project in Newark, there's a house there. My job is just to take a look at the area, make sure there's no historic resources there in the area. When I say historic resource, I mean historic building, archaeological site, because archaeological sites have a lot of valuable artifacts that teach us about the past and help us learn what happened, you know, back, you know, Native American times, you know, or the 18th century, things like that. So, I mean, for us, it's important to kind of preserve history in Delaware. And sometimes you have historic property in an area, well, I mean, it's not a good idea to develop there because, you know, that resource could be destroyed. So part of my job is to try to help preserve history / historic resources in Delaware. It's a very meaningful job, though.
Yeah, you mentioned earlier that you've been trying to get more Black churches on the National Historic Register. Could you explain some of the struggle with that?
You know, the National Historic Preservation Act was passed, you know, 1966. You know, African Americans are still fighting for civil rights back in those days. You know, like, you know, I think a lot of people didn't really take into consideration how important African American churches are in African American community. It's kind of impossible to have an African American community without an African American church. And I think, you know, sometimes, you know, African American churches don't retain a lot of their significance. I think that's a lot of the issues with, you know, getting African American churches nominated to the National Register. But the good news is that the National Park Service is taking that into consideration. And I think they have an open mind and they're thinking of ways to include African-American resources, African-American churches within the National Register. And we're thinking about how significant this church is to the African-American community. And we're still in the process of trying to save some, and I hope that we can do that. Hopefully, you know, the National Park Service can kind of, they can kind of revise the guidelines so some of these churches can be recognized.
If some of them were to get recognized, what would that mean for the church? Would it still be able to function as a church? Would it get a little plaque? What does that look like?
I think first and foremost, it would be eligible for tax credits. It would get recognized. It would be listed in the Register of Historic Places. They would get a certificate. The tax credit program is important because these churches can get resources, they can get repairs done to further preserve the church for future generations. So, you know, some of the survival of some of these churches are in jeopardy. And I think being listed on the National Register would go a long way to help that church maintain and survive. You know, I just want to close this thing off with trying to, you know, talk about how important African-American women are within African-American history in Delaware. And we were talking about Howard High School in Wilmington, and I just wanted to kind of further talk about, you know, Alice Dunbar Nelson and her niece, which was Pauline A. Young. And she was pretty much before her time. She was a historian. She saved a lot of records. She saved a lot of artifacts. She taught at Howard High School. She helped establish the NCAA in Wilmington, Delaware in 1914. She did a whole lot of work, and she's somebody that we don't think about when we think about Delaware history, but Pauline A. Young and her aunt, Alice Dunbar Nelson, are really important to Delaware history. And I hope that one day I can kind of go through some of the, you know, artifacts and records that they left and kind of, you know, start from scratch and kind of get the beginning of African-American history in Delaware that was documented. because it's everywhere. This is the great frontier. This is a great time to kind of research a lot of African-American history because it hasn't been done a whole lot.
Sounds like you've got your work cut out for you.
Yeah, I do. I do. But it's exciting. I love to do research, and I find it very meaningful and very fulfilling. It's just something that I've always loved to do.
Well, thank you. I think that kind of brings our conversation full circle.
It's great that you have an interest because it's just, it's a lot. Our agency does a lot, our division does a lot.